In following up with what we talked about last time, which was having a forgiving heart and evaluating ourselves, searching ourselves, taking a look at where we are in our relationship with God, I wanted to follow that up with another topic that is well connected to it. Join me in Matthew 15. Matthew 15. First one there, start reading. No. Matthew 15. We see some incredible miracles take place, beginning in 15, verse 29. Jesus departed from there, I forget where he was, skirted the Sea of Galilee, and went up on the mountain and sat down. Then great multitudes came up to him, having with them the lame, the blind, the mute, the maimed, and others. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. He had great compassion. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they glorified the God of Israel. It had to be an extraordinary event. Now Jesus called his disciples to himself, verse 32, and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. So we have a miracle taking place here as well as the healing that he performed. Then his disciples said to him, where can we get enough bread in the wilderness to fill such a great multitude? There's a bunch of folk here, and we don't have food. There's no store. Lucky's is closed. Safeway hasn't been built yet. Costco is long far away. And where could we get enough bread in the wilderness? And Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, seven and a few little fish. A few little fish. And he took the seven loaves and the fish and gave thanks, broke them and gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude. And I could just see in my mind as he broke the bread, the baskets continued to fill up with broken bread. And the fish continued to fill up. So that, and he took and gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude, so that all ate, and all were filled, and they took up seven large baskets full of the fragments that were left. Started out with a handful of food, and they still had more left over, and everybody was full. Now those who ate were 4,000 men besides women and children. So figure 5,000 people or more. I mean, feeding 100 would be an incredible miracle. Now those who ate were 4,000 men beside women and children, and he sent away the multitude, and he got on a boat and came to the region of Magdala. Now, chapter 16. This was noised abroad. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were hearing of miracles of healing, miracles of feeding thousands. It wasn't just a dinner and a show. It was incredible. Matthew 16, verse 1. Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came and trying to trip him up, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. They just heard thousands of people talking about people healed. They could see the maimed healed, the lame walking, the blind seeing. They could see that. And they heard the story of being the feeding of the 5,000. Show us a sign. Do a parlor trick for me. Let me see that you're somebody of spiritual note. He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites! You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Hypocrites. Hypocrites. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. Prove to me that you are who you are. Do a miracle in front of me and I'll believe. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And then he left and departed. The sign of Jonah is 3 days and three nights in the great fish. 3 days and three nights Jesus Christ would be in the grave. That is the sign. Now, when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. No big deal. Then Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Jesus Christ was already continuing to deal with what was important. The Pharisees and the Sadducees challenged him, testing him, "Show us a sign." And he said, "Beware of the leavening of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." We're talking about the days of unleavened bread. And they wondered among themselves, "Is it because we didn't bring the bread?" And Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have not brought bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up?" We just did the miracle just took place. I'm not talking about bread. It's not physical. Beware the leavening of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Verse 11, "How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread? But to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The doctrine, the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Today's title is Spiritual Leavening of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. My notes. Matthew 16, I was there. So what is the leavening of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? There's a clear definition. Let's go to Luke 12. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 12 clearly defines what it is and what we need to be aware of, especially as we evaluate ourselves and examine ourselves going toward the Passover. Luke 12, verse 1. Probably the same experience or the relating of the same event that took place. In the meantime, verse 1, "When an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." Which is hypocrisy. That is what they are to be aware of. To be wary of. They were teaching. They sat in the seat of Moses. They were teaching the Bible, and they were teaching hypocrisy. Mark 7. Oh yeah, we'll get to Mark 7. So they were teaching hypocrisy. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You know, Jesus never challenged what the Pharisees and the Sadducees taught because they were teaching from Scripture. They were very clear about what Scripture says, but they didn't follow it themselves. Jesus didn't fault their accuracy of the word, but there was so much to address. If what the Pharisees and the Sadducees taught was accurate, then what was the problem? Why warn the disciples? And why warn us down through the ages? Because we are to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, which is hypocrisy. Now, according to Strong's Dictionary, G5272, if you want to look that up, hypocrisy or hypocrisy is acting under a feigned part. It means to act or pretend. And the Greek word was actually used for actors. That's what they did. They pretended. They had a mask, and they had some sort of audio device that changed their voice, and they could be themselves, and they presented someone else. They were a hypocrite. They were an actor. They were a pretender. And that was part of the stage. It was the custom of the Greek and Roman stage actors to speak through devices, to change their voices, and to be a pretender. We can get wrapped up in our actors and actresses on TV and in movies and on stage. We can think great things of them. I had the opportunity of interviewing Brad Garrett, you know, the rather tall fellow from Everyone Loves Raymond. He's about that high, maybe higher. I don't know if I could reach his head. He's 6'5" plus. And we have the idea of who he is. Robert, he played the character Robert on Everyone Loves Raymond. And he's a very gentle guy, nice guy. He gave a lecture an evening at the Flint Center in Santa Clara. I was invited to meet him, and I went to the show. And he opened up by saying, "I am not Robert." That was his first words. "I am not Robert. I'm not that guy." And then he proceeded to give a PG-13 R-rated humor comedy sketch. And it hit one gal. I was farther back, and a gal and her 12-year-old son was farther up, and they got up and left because it wasn't appropriate for a 12-year-old. But he was telling you right out, "I'm not Robert. I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy. That's acting. This is who I am." He had convinced everyone that's who he was, the lovable Robert from the show. Acting, a stage actor. Jesus Christ did not fault the Pharisees and the Sadducees for their rigid teaching. He took them to task for their hypocrisy. That acting in front of people, and they were different than what they were presenting. Jesus likened the conduct of the Pharisees to that of actors, men who were pretending, playing a role. The Pharisees of Jesus' day were a powerful religious group who claimed to be more zealous and more righteous than the rest of Jewish society. They'd quit to tell you that too. You go to Israel today, there are groups, segments that look down on their own people because they're more righteous than others. They set themselves up as models of what was right and what was godly, and yet in Christ's eyes, their example was very destructive. In Christ's estimation, their conduct had a corrupting impact on those who followed their example, a leavening effect. It's interesting about the leavening agents and what they do. The word in my mind comes, they permeate. Leavening agents permeate. Goes, you cannot find it in whatever you're working with because it permeates the whole pack. The whole pack is the whole lump. In fact, isn't that what Scripture says? Leavening leavens the whole lump. So hypocrisy leavened the Pharisees. The hypocrisy leavened the Sadducees. They were actors in front of the people they were to teach. The Pharisees had a damaging effect on the people. Their doctrine permeated, spread through the lives of those being taught. The effect wasn't good. They would teach Scripture accurate, but as they presented it in their lives as examples, they were hypocrites. So I want to touch on the Pharisees first, to begin to understand Jesus Christ's warning. During the ministry, the Pharisees and the Sadducees constantly judged Jesus, judged his disciples for their actions. You know, why did Jesus eat with the sinners? Why did Jesus break the Sabbath, you know, healing on the Sabbath? Why did the disciples violate the traditions of the elders with very specific washings? Always judging, always finding fault, not observing the law of God in that sense, But the traditions and opinions outweighed God's word. The Pharisees challenged Christ to perform miracle in front of them to show them a sign. And he already performed numerous miracles, but it wasn't good enough. Show us a sign just for us. But the only sign, of course, is that of Jonah being 3 days and three nights in the grave. Jesus Christ would also be, Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the fish. Jesus Christ would be 3 days and three nights in the grave. And if he wasn't, it's not a day and a half. If he wasn't 3 days and three nights, then Jesus Christ was not our Savior. He would be branded as a false prophet. Jesus Christ called the Pharisees something very interesting. He called them blind guides. Blind guides. Who were the Pharisees? So they were part of the ruling class, the leadership in Jewish society, a religious sect that began around 300 BC, somewhere around there. In fact, we talked about that when we talked about the intertestamental period between Malachi and the emergence of John the Baptizer. They held strict observance of the law of Moses, plus the traditions of the elders. And they... I'm not happy with my notes here. Can't make sense of my notes. I'll just leave them. They tended to be separatists, i.e., they were the elite, and they stayed away from other groups. They were the leaders of the Sanhedrin. You had the lesser and the greater Sanhedrin. The lesser Sanhedrin had 23 rabbis, and they were tribal in that regard. They took care of small events. And then you had the grand or the greater or the supreme Sanhedrin. You had 72 rabbis, and they would meet and deal with the major issues that were presented to them. Mark 7. Matthew, Mark. Mark 7. What got to be the issue is they pressed the traditions of the elders on the people more so than the doctrine that was taught by the law of Moses. Mark 7, verse 1. Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem. Now when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the traditions of the elders. And when they came from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things that they which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups and pitchers, copper vessels and couches. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" I was in Israel, and I had the opportunity to see places where you washed your cup, where you washed your basin, where you washed your hands. And it's still there today. It's still part of the traditions. Why do you go against their traditions? Why do you not wash? But see, it wasn't commanded by God. It was commanded by men. I had two kids. They would get dirty. I'd give them a bath at the end of the day. But I would give them snacks. I didn't force them to wash before I gave them snacks. A little dirt never hurt anybody. Never hurt me or my brother. But what hurts is hatred, bias, bigotry, anger, that which resides inside the individual. Why do your disciples not walk according to the traditions of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? Verse 6, he answered and said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, hypocrites. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the traditions of men, the washings of pitchers and cups and many other such things you do. He said to them, all too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your traditions. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and he who curses his father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban, that is, it's a gift, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. There was a whole situation dealing with gift giving and respect and honoring a parent to get yourself out of an obligation. Verse 14, when he had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. What's inside us? What's inside us, the hatred, bigotry, bias, anger, pride, that destroys us from the inside. And if we are hypocrites, we will keep it to ourselves. Well, you'll never see it because I'm going to be a good actor. I'm going to be a great actor. The thing is, God sees us. God sees us from the inside out. Luke 16. Sometimes we're surprised. We see characters on TV or in the movies and they only play the good guys and they really play it well, and then you meet them in person and, oh, that's who you really are. Because they're really good actors. That's their job. Luke 16. Luke 16, verse 14. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, that's who they were on the inside, also heard all the things. And just above it, you'll read that no servant can serve two masters. You'll hate one and love the other. Loyalty would be divided. You can't love God and mammon. So they heard those things and derided him. And he said to them, verse 15, you are those who justify yourselves before men. You have a front. You have hypocrisy. Hypocrisies. You have a facade in front of men. But God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. God knows the hearts. He knows the intent. He knows the content of our heart and our mind. We can't go before God as a hypocrite. God already knows who we are, really. Well, while we're there, we can go to Luke 12. Luke 12, verse 2. Well, verse 1. When an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. We're going to be in known quantities. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and whatever you have spoken in the ear in inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. The only way this wouldn't happen is if we repent, because then God says, it's gone from my memory. It's gone as far as east is from the west. But if we try to be hiding things from God, he says, I already know. And unless we repent, they're going to be also known to others. Luke 8, a couple of pages back, 8 verse 17. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. There, take heed how you hear, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have will be taken from him. I didn't complete that whole parable, but the idea is, nothing is really secret. God knows. God knows us from the inside out. We can't be a hypocrite to God. Can't be a hypocrite to God. The Pharisees expressed a great desire to keep the law, but only followed it when it benefited them. They were hypocrites. There was a story from another minister in a small rural area. A pizza joint was robbed. And the next day, the evidence of the robbery was there, and they were doing an inventory of what was left. Small town, so everybody knew everybody. At the end of it, at the end of the inventory, they kind of knew who robbed them. The only thing that was left was everything pork. The only thing taken was everything beef. The owner quickly realized what was not taken and who committed the crime. There were two fellows from church, young fellows from church, who had chosen which laws to obey and which laws to ignore. They obeyed the dietary laws, but decided to steal the food. Hypocrites. Hypocrites. We have to keep the whole law. I'm going to skip that. Matthew, join me in Matthew 23. This is an interesting chapter. I call it the woe chapter. Because woe means trouble coming. Woe means disruption. Woe means trials and difficulties. And Jesus Christ was woeing the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Matthew 23 is the woe chapter. Now the Pharisees were all about appearance. And how did they appear in public? How did they appear to the Romans? How did they appear to those who could help them? And how did they appear to those who were helpless that needed their help? And they had the big three in front of the three P's in front of them. Power, prestige, and position. They were always looking for that. Matthew 23, verse 1. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat." That's their job. We know the calendar was given to them. There were things that they were responsible for. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. Because they would be accurate. They would be correct. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best seats at the feast and the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But you do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. We're all in this together. I don't mind the appellation, Mister, but I just love you call me Fred. We're brothers and sisters on this same journey. None of us are greater than anybody else. We have different assignments that we're given in the body of Christ. That's what we have, is different assignments. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entertaining to go in. They make it difficult for people to enter the kingdom of God. They put in blocks. They put in burdens. The Pharisees taught that they taught the law, but they themselves didn't keep the law. They did works to be seen of men. And that's a dangerous leavening that literally could turn God's grace into license. Their conduct, they love special treatment, and they love special attention. And in doing so, they would lead people away. We're all the brothers and sisters on the same journey. Some have farther to go because of where they started. Others have shorter to go. But we all are on the same journey until our last breath. We're all family. No one greater. Titles were important to them. Titles were important. To be known by a title of importance. Years ago, the church had kind of titles. We had evangelist, pastor, preaching elder, local elder. You know, preaching elder and local elder, that didn't exist in the Bible. The church created it. We're all elders. We're all different assignments. Being an evangelist is a different assignment, but you're an elder. Being a pastor, you're an elder, but that's your assignment. When we go to Ephesians, we could look up. They're all servants of the body of Christ. I had a friend who introduced himself as a senior deacon. And I squirreled around with that because that's not in the book. It's not in the book. Yes, he had senior service. He served for decades. But there is not a title that says, I'm above the other deacons. We're all servants of the body of Christ. We all have different assignments. We all have different responsibilities. But in God's eyes, we are all valued the same. So they rejected God through hypocrisy. Verse 13. Did I read that? But woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrite, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. They put barriers because of their traditions, because their lack of understanding of what the scripture truly means. Verse 14, woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation. They should know better. They should know better. They were taking advantage of the helpless through law and manipulation. And they love to hear their voices in long pontificating prayers with words that don't last past the rise of the ceiling. What was it? Balaam and... I'm getting old. It was a 20-second prayer. And the sacrifice that was poured water over in 20-second prayer. And Balaam's prophets spend all day cutting themselves and praying to Baal, and nothing happened. 20 seconds later, the sacrifice was... Okay, who is it? Elijah. Yeah, thank you. It was Elijah. No, mine went blank. I'm getting old. And I'm starting to feel it. Long pontificating prayers don't matter. An immediate prayer of integrity from the heart. You've made a connection with God, and God can fill in the blanks. There was I forget who spoke at Gettysburg, but before Abraham Lincoln gave the Gettysburg Address, and all of us in high school had to recite it, and it was 3 minutes, or 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes. The orator before Mr. Lincoln was 2.5 hours. Nobody remembers him. I don't even remember his name. But we all remember the simplistic and powerful words of Abraham Lincoln, because they came from the heart. They weren't pontificating. Verse 15, Jesus Christ continues. I can imagine the ears must be red with embarrassment. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. You put such powerful burdens on him, he wishes he never made the journey. One of the things I enjoy about this work is there's a simplicity in Christ. And there isn't a lot of you'll never hear me pontificate. That's not in my values. I mean, the Sabbath traditions, they have 29 conditions of observing the Sabbath day, 406 ways of observing the Sabbath. God says, keep it holy. My relationship with you, let's keep the Sabbath holy. And that's my relationship with you. I'm not going to tell you how to keep it holy. You're not going to tell me how to keep it holy. God says, don't work. Don't do your thing. You work it out. It's not up to a rabbi to tell you. They preached God, but converted people to a dead religion, making those converts twice as much the sons of hell as they themselves were. That's a hard thing to say. Verse 16, woe to you blind guides who say, whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it. They were saying, if you make an oath against the temple or the altar, it's nothing because there's nothing on the altar. But if there's gold there, now you've made an oath. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. Of course, we are taught not to swear. We're taught that our word is our bond, and what we say is true, because we don't live as hypocrites. We don't live as hypocrites. Verse 23, and this one is important because it does affect us. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the other undone. There's another scripture that says that our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. They were rigid in observing God's law. We need to be close to God and observe God's law with the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. They were leaving out the important parts. Blind guides, you strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Hypocrites, I see your insides. I see you from the inside out. I see the intent of your heart. Woe to you, scribe, 27. Oh, verse 26. Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean. You know, if you clean the inside of a cup, the outside's going to be clean. Have you ever tried washing just the inside of a cup and the outside not get clean? You can wash the outside and the inside doesn't get clean. We clean on the inside of who we are, and the things we do on the outside, the things that we say on the outside, representing Christ in our lives, are going to be cleaned up. So we work on the insides. That's why we examine ourselves during the year, but especially as we go toward the Passover. Verse 27, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead man's bones and uncleanness and all uncleanness. In the hills surrounding Jerusalem are sepulchers. Actually, now they're sitting on top of the ground. They've got these sarcophagi, but whatever they are, they put inside. They put in the grain trees. You go to funeral places. Caskets. And they've got these large things, and inside are caskets, and inside the caskets are dead man's bones. And they're washed, and they're painted. The hills look beautiful. And that's what Jesus, make it look nice, but inside are dead man's bones. You could look great on the outside. You could spiffy up. I remember I was an executor for a member's possessions after he died. And the person, one of the family, never saw me in a suit. And it, wow, you dressed, you, oh, what's the phrase?
Showed up like a new penny.
Yeah, something like that. Showed up like a new penny. You're sure, I'm sorry?
Clean up.
You sure clean up nice. That's the phrase. Hopefully the inside was as good as the outside. But on these sepulchers and such, you can make the outside look nice, but inside are dead man's bones. If we live in the world of hypocrisy, we won't change. I mean, we won't be in the kingdom. Whatever we say, we need to keep. If we make a vow, if we make a promise, that becomes our obligation. I forget the movie. Burt Reynolds was in a movie called The End. And as a character, he wanted to off himself. He was going to die, and I forget the story, why he wanted to die, but he was done. So he swam out into the ocean, kept swimming out until he was tired, and then swam down. Deep, 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 deep. And he was done. He was going to say enough. And I don't want to die. Oh, no, I don't want to die. And he struggled to get to the surface. And he said, God, help me. I need your help. I'm going to give you 100% of my income. Just get me safe. And the closer he got to shore, I'm going to give you 50%. You know, that's a good amount too, right? And the closer he got to shore, you know, I'm going to learn the Ten Commandments. And 10%. You only ask for 10%. And then when his feet touched the ground, he says, I'm going to try and do better. Because he never changed from the inside. He never changed from the inside. And of course, Matthew 5 says we don't swear at all. We're to keep our word. And that's what God says. There we go. All right. Verse 28. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. This is the leavening of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We are to beware the leavening of the Pharisee and the Sadducees. It's hypocrisy. Verse 29. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites! Because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. If we had been back there, we wouldn't have rebelled like Korah. We would have done good. Arrogance. Arrogance. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then and the measure of your father's guilt, serpents, brood of vipers. How can you escape the condemnation of hell? Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that on your that on you may come all the righteous blood of the, shed on the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Assuredly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. This is going to be a time of desperation. Your hypocrisy is going to be known. You're going to be revealed as hypocrites. That must have been quite a discussion they had. Jesus Christ would say, woe, there's trouble, there's a trial, it's difficult, and then call them out. You, Pharisees, scribes, hypocrites. One after another and after another, he took them to task for who they were on the inside, pretending to be someone else on the outside, and how difficult that is. They professed high regard for the dead prophets. They claimed that they would never have persecuted or murdered the prophets, when in fact they were cut from the same cloth as the prosecutors, the persecutors, and the murderers. They would have done the same thing. Oop, hit a button. Sorry. 2 Timothy 2. Jesus Christ warned the disciples that the Pharisees made commandments, the commandments of God, of no effect. They made them useless through traditions. That we ourselves need to be Bereans. That we ourselves need to know this book inside out. That we need to have that personal, close relationship with God and Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy 2:15, we are reminded. Verse 15, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God. We present ourselves to God every time we are on our knees praying to Him. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Knowing this book, having that relationship, examining ourselves to see if we're in the faith, like we said last time, to see where we are in our relationship with God. We are to look at the commandments of God and do them all, not pick and choose. We can't choose to follow God's food law and then steal all the beef that's in the restaurant. It doesn't work. And we're to watch out for hypocrisy. We are to teach and do. We are taught the letter of the law, but we are also to choose and follow the heart of the law. If you only follow the letter of the law, you're a true legalist. It's important to recognize that the Pharisees did teach the law and that we are to keep the law, but we're not to pick and choose what we want to do. We're not to pick and choose the heart of the law. We're to follow it from the heart. Matthew 5, verse 17, do not think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And of course, society says Christ came to destroy the law. Crucified with Christ. It's done away. Well, we can go into that discussion, but what was done away was through the sacrifice and forgiveness, our rap sheet has been voided. That which we have created has been done away. We can go into Galatians another time. But it says that I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill. That means to make complete. Jesus Christ came to make the law complete. It used to be just physical. If I didn't murder you, then I was following the law. But in my heart, if I did, I was in violation of God's law. Jesus Christ came to make the law spiritual as well. He rendered it perfect because it's now spiritual. It's to be kept physical and in the heart and mind. Not just the outside where pretense can distort one's intent, but now we keep it from the inside because God sees us from the inside. God sees us from the inside. The law of God is now more binding than ever on our hearts and minds. And as I said before, Christ expects our righteousness to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. We've discussed that, I think, earlier in the year. Pharisaical attitudes of today, Pharisaical attitudes of today does away with the commandments of God and we keep the traditions. Today, you can keep Easter and Christmas because those are man's desire to worship God, but let's do away with these holy days. And that we have a society that believes that they're following God's law without ever reading the book because their traditions that they observe are not in the book. We're not hypocritical. We teach and we do. We teach the commandments and they're enforced. We preach a resurrection, but we don't put the dead into heaven. It used to be that religion was to get rich, but we're rich in spirit because we don't act. We're not acting. We have enriched the whole being. That's who we are. We're commanded to be on guard. As we talked about in the vigil, the night to be much observed, we are on guard for our adversary. The modern Pharisaical attitude denies the true Christ and does away with God's perfect law of love. And these ideas do permeate society and can enter into us if we allow it, what we read and what we watch and how we're entertained. Because those attitudes and actions affect us and impact us on our journey toward God's kingdom. I really should touch on the Sadducees. I spent too much time on the Pharisees. The Sadducees were the intellectuals, and they came about the same time as the Pharisees. They were guided by secular considerations. They were in favor of adopting Greek customs. They were kind of a bridge between Jewish society and the Greek when they were taken over by Greek and before the Romans arrived. They were a clique. They were religious. They were the religious officials of the nation, though they were themselves irreligious. They generally were wealthy and carried influence with society. They were narcissistic and worldly minded and insisted that only the Pentateuch and the Torah were binding. And they rejected the traditions of the elder. There was a difference of attitude between the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They were influenced by human reasoning. If they could not comprehend it, it didn't happen. They turned to the world for reason. They turned to pop science. They turned pop science into religion, which became their god, small g, kind of, you know, today save the planet, save the whales. They don't have answers for today's ills, which the Bible does, which is the coming kingdom. They denied the power of God. They doubted miracles. Modern Sadducee attitude today undermines the Bible and the deity of Jesus Christ, which is the center of the whole book. The whole book. The Pharisees were hyper-religious without following their own teachings. The Sadducees were worldly in thought and looked to human reasoning. And they were both taken to task. They have a leaven swirling about in this world that will impact us if we're not careful. We must be aware of those actions and attitudes. And I think in Matthew 23, it was so clear. Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, hypocrites, actors, pretenders. As we continue to evaluate ourselves for the Passover, as we look toward the days of unleavened bread, We have that warning from Jesus Christ to be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the attitudes of hypocrisy, the attitudes of pride, the attitudes of arrogance, the attitudes of God's law, we can be casual, of indulging in human reasoning. As we come to the Passover, we will put all that aside. We will not allow ourselves to be hypocrites before God, because we will have revealed ourselves to God as we really are. So we want to avoid the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It's a very important lesson that we receive from God.